Yeah, yeah. Dr. D on the mic, yeah, we live tonight. Miniature worlds in the neon light. Terrence said dice roll, lock it in. Welcome to the table, let the games begin. Dr. D and Snoop, yeah, we run this show. Breaking down the play so you always know. Professional throw, never casual. Every move sharp and tactical. And I will.
All right, stop me if you've heard this one. I'm reading an anti-gravity book right now, and it's so good, I can't put it down. All right, today on Netwatch, we'll be talking about the four new civilian models that Monster Fuck Club just dropped. But before that, Arachne is part of the Professional Casual Network. If you'd like to support the network, please sign up for our Patreon or purchase some hot swag at streamlabs.com/professionalcasualnetwork1. I am not personally sponsored by Monument Hobbies, but I use their paints for everything I paint. Use code PROFESSIONALCASUAL at checkout to get a swanky discount and directly help us at Arachne. Bare Enough Dice makes the coolest dice in the business. I personally use their dice for every game except for Cyberpunk, because I don't have dice for it. That's all right.
Aww.
Yeah. But if you use code Arachne at checkout, you can get a nice 5% discount. And if you get their D&D dice, you can probably just use that for this game too. And we can never forget our sponsor, Mr. Laser, at mr-laser.squarespace.site. Shout out to our patrons, Cyril S., Derek S., Quinn B., Nick B., Aleph is the way. And we also have a couple of Cyberpunk events coming up. January 11th, February 1st, and March 1st at the Century Box in Calgary, Canada, we have a demo/game day with Fixer Matt. We also have two events at Adepticon, March 27th and March 28th. These are two 40-man tournaments. Should be big, fun time. Come down and say hi to us, myself, and all the other Fixers.
And me, I'll be there.
Oh, speaking of that, we're going to welcome Fixer Josh here as my guest.
Hello.
Hi, Josh. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing swell. How's that Fixer life going?
Pretty good. I'm excited for Adepticon because not only will I be working the booth with MFC for the entire week, I will be helping out with those events as well with my buddy Mac.
That'll be exciting. I always love to see Mac at events.
Oh, yeah. I'm wicked excited.
So within this week, I think we're still within a 7-day span, Monster Fight Club dropped four civilian models that you can purchase through their website. We're going to go over each one of them, just kind of give a description of what they are and then how we feel about it. So first one we have is the Fight Promoter. It's a Wild Things, a Merc, Edgerunner. 21 Eddies, 2 Dodge, 1 Medical, 3 Influence. It's got 3 action tokens, 1 green, 2 yellow. It has peacocking. Rival gonks may not target this model with their actions. And high fashion. When a friendly model within yellow takes a reaction, they may use this model's action tokens instead of their own. So right off the bat, how do you feel about it?
Out of the four, I'm actually the most excited, I think, for this one. I kind of glanced over it initially and was kind of eyeballing a discrete contract that we'll look at later. But looking at this again, I'm really excited for this. Because number one, all of them are Edge Runners or Mercs, right?
Yep.
But this one's Wild Things, which means you can run it with just straight Wild Things, which there's not a lot of options for right now. On top of that, in regular Wild Things, there's not a lot of, like most of them just have two actions, right? They're typically two green actions. And they're all about melee and just being fast. This model adds some stuff that they just don't really have access to. When you're playing Wild Things, like, you have to really be careful with your action economy. Now, they can do some crazy stuff, obviously, with like Bruiser and Bouncer and stuff, but you still are limited by the tokens you have compared to some other factions. And the fact that this guy can, you can just kind of rip off his reactions versus using their own is really nice. The whole Rival Gonks peacocking, I think, is just going to allow him to really be good at grabbing objectives and not have to worry about, you know, stupid little 5-point gonks taking them out. And then just having the influence is really nice too, to be able to have someone that can kind of, you know, pass things out and really just help the Wild Things with their action economy. So I think I think, yeah, it's 21 points, but I think for what you're getting, this is going to be a really good baggage in Wild Things. And this is just the baseline. Like, this isn't even the veteran, right? Because I'm sure it'll just get even better. So I think this is going to be really good out of Wild Things. Now, out of everybody else, I think it's still really good because you're basically getting kind of a version of Point Man outside of Arasaka.
Yep.
So everyone else kind of gets a little bit of the love. And then, of course, if you're playing Arasaka, then screw you, because now you have more access to more reaction tokens.
That was my initial thought the second I saw Fight Promoter, and I was like, oh no, now you can just Point Man and Fight Promoter together.
Yeah, right.
And the heavy can just always react.
Yeah.
I agree that the Wild Things definitely needed a little bit branching out in the support category. You have the three influence, which is going to help with objectives. You have a medical role, which can help heal, and you have dodge. So you don't have any fight characteristics on this ability unless you build towards a reflex damage roll type of thing with mono wire and things like that. And also, I believe there's someone in Wild Things that lets you move friendly models after they finish a move.
Babyface, yeah, everybody gets that red move after he moves, as long as they're in line of sight with him. And actually, you just mentioned the mono wire. I didn't even think about that, but rival gonks may not target this model with their action. I mean, mono wire is Torrent. So, like, this guy could just be a gonk hunter as well. So that kind of gives him a little bit more usability as well. You know, if you're playing someone like Zoners that likes to just charge you with those gonks, or, you know, even Arasaka if they're using, you know. Yeah, so I don't know. I think 21 points, but I really think he's got some good versatility in any gang, and just adding a nice little extra support piece, like you said, to Wild Things, I think is really good.
Yes, definitely so. I think overall Fight Promoter is probably going to see play by people. It's going to be a model that I think can help catch other factions up to Arasaka with the Point Man situation. And overall, I feel pretty good about it. I think the model looks great.
Yeah, it definitely plays into the first ability, peacocking, right? Like, he's not out there crazy combat. He doesn't need to be, dude. He's just the guy that's kind of there. He's calm, cool, collective, doing his thing. You know, nobody's messing with him.
Yeah, it very much it fits the Wild Things theme, being the fight promoter, dressed to the nines, just organizing the fights. And I think overall, for all the models, they did a great job with putting out civilians, where just people that are stepping up to fight in these situations. I like this theme that the civilian models are portraying.
Listen, people need money, man, you know, and when you're in the combat zone, you know, you're going to do what you can to survive and make those eddies, so.
Couple extra eddies here and there for a little mission. All right, let's move on to our next one, Fashionista. So Fashionista is a 13 eddy, one fight, one medical, two influence, with two actions, both green. She's an edge runner merc. She has two abilities. One is Unvogue. This model's influence actions gain +2 if the target has more ready action tokens than this model. And she has a influence action, obvious distraction for all range band ranges of green to red. Stun one. If the target has no ready action tokens, this action gains push. So you're just like talking them up and you're pushing them back by your stunning.
Hey, you, get out of here.
I was more like model posing and just like you're stunning people by your glamorous outfit.
Yeah, that's probably more like it.
All right. So, Josh, how do you feel about this model?
I like it. Relatively cheap, two green actions. It's not combat heavy, which we're kind of used to, especially coming off of the full body conversion stuff that was all very combat heavy. Obvious distraction, I think, is really good. When I first looked at it, I'm like, oh, that's kind of nice for like a little bit of control. But I didn't realize at first the range band on it. Like, we're talking red, yellow, and green. Yeah, it doesn't do any damage. It's stun one. But, you know, somebody ends an activation on an objective. You know, good one, like the one we played the other day where you want to the game to end and you're standing on objectives. So you finish your activation, you got no tokens left. Cool. I'm going to hit you from green far away where I'm nice and safe with this thing, and I'm going to knock you off that objective. Already has two influence on it, which at 13 points, you've got plenty of room to, you know, put some gear on there and up that a little bit.
Yeah.
And then it's also it's got +2 to influence actions if the target has more ready actions in this model. So, like, I don't know. I think it's got some really good versatility, and at 13 points, I think you can it's worth fitting in to a lot of lists, especially if you're trying to do some more of the mission-based missions versus, you know, objective-based missions versus all these combat missions, which is what I've been really trying to do lately to kind of learn some more types of play. I don't know. I think it's good. I think this will actually find a way into quite a few lists, especially those more combat heavy lists that are really just lacking those support pieces.
Yeah, I think with chain reactions, if she targets a friendly model that has more ready action tokens than her, she gets +2 to her roll. So she's rolling +4 to activate that model.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm reading that correctly.
Yeah, and actually, even the obvious distraction, you're getting +4 to stun somebody.
Yep.
And if they have no actions, then you're pushing them, you know, you're doing the whole push thing. So I think it's pretty good. And there is the medic one ability, which means you also kind of have, like, you know, if you don't have anybody with a heal action, you're already kind of there ready to go into, you know, grabbing some gear to help with that too. So you could kind of double her up on a couple different things.
Yeah, I do think that out of all four of these models, she has probably the most competition because she is a influence-based model. And there are a lot of other influence-based characters already in the game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if she brings enough to make her the standout obvious choice. But for 13 eddies, she has +2 to her influence action, most likely. She'll have +4. I think she'd be probably up there. I'm not even sure where I'd rank her on that compared to other influence models.
Yeah, I think in something like Straight Edge Runners, she's going to have a hard time because there's a lot. The Firm alone, right? Something like Piranhas, maybe not the best. But, I mean, something like Gen Red or Wild Things, again, stuff that doesn't really have a lot of, you know, catered stuff towards this. Yeah, it's definitely going to depend on what you're running, but I could easily see her finding, where she's only 13 points, I could see her finding some space somewhere.
But her design, I think, is stunning. Like, fashionista, 100%. She's got that thick Rolex type watch on. She's got pearl necklace, full-on designer suit with the spiky shoulder pads.
Yeah, the over-the-top shoulder pads. Yeah.
Got the 80s spiky shoulder pads. Come on.
Yeah, it's got to be over the top.
I think, personally, my ranking, I think she is the lowest of these four. But that's just my bias to pain. I think, given chances for me putting her in list, she might move up higher. But out of the four initially right off the bat, I think she's a lot of competition to deal with. What she brings to the table is it's more competitive with what other models that are already out there do. So I think she's a little bit lower on the choice.
Yeah, I think depending on the future, what comes with influence, with obviously their, you know, Mac's been kind of testing some stuff with influence and those actions might change that. Because I mean, getting a base basically four on influence actions can be pretty crazy. But I think we really need to see like where those test plays go and where the future kind of leaves us with that skill. So it could be better in the future. But yeah, we'll definitely see.
Now let's move on to our next one, which I think this guy looks the coolest. His name is Hardhat. He's an edge runner mercenary, 17 eddies, 2 fight, 1 punch, 3 tech with 2 yellow actions. He has 1 ability, oversee repairs, friendly visible gonks may take the concealed saws it action. And what is that? That is a tech action that he has. It's within red. It is a rapid 2 dangerous attack. This attack may be opposed by armor, and it does cause damage.
The 2 yellow obviously is like the big first thing you see that's like kind of like, but again, we're looking at non-veteran. So we know that typically with veteran, you're going to get at least 1 green. 3 tech, yeah, he's not a net runner, but I mean, it's real easy to upgrade him at the 3 tech. But the funny thing is, I don't even think you want him as a net runner. The conceal saws it. Is like, that's such a cyberpunk thing. Like, everyone else is running around with, like, you know, crazy big guns and mantis blades. And, like, this dude's just like, I'm pissed off at all these punks on the work job messing around, stealing our tools. And so, you know what? I'm going to grab a sawzall, basically. We're going to go to town. And he's giving them he's handing them out to the gonks. Yeah. He's like, hey, you take a sawzall, you take a sawzall. Yeah, we're going to go to town on these guys that have been messing around with our construction. I think it's great. And the fact, it's rapid, too. Yeah. yeah, sure, it's dangerous, but I mean, adding rapid to gonks, I mean, they're not gonna last long anyways. So dangerous, all right, whatever. He's probably gonna die anyways. Like, and then just being the fact that it's not a regular, it's a tech attack, right? Which you don't see a lot of, like, especially a rapid two damaging tech attack, you don't really see that much at all. So I think it's very interesting. At 17 points, I look forward to seeing how that's gonna play, especially like in a zoner list, right? Like a heavy gonk list. I'm very interested to see how this is gonna play out.
My initial thought was give it to the kids. Because the the skateboard gonks get a move yellow for free. And then they can just run right up to red range and then sawzaw someone.
Yeah, and if they don't die from the skateboarding, they get a chance of dying to the sawzall that they just tripped and fell on.
Don't make them do any cool kickflips over curbs or anything like that. It'll be fine.
Again, don't run with scissors, but go ahead and skateboard with a sawzall. It's fine. This is Combat Zone. We don't care.
I think this is probably the most unique ad of these four civilians. He's good fight. He's got that shoot one, he's got tech three, so this guy can get stuff done, and he gives all your gonks an extra option.
Yeah, at 17 points, I mean, giving him like a raw juice, or even, you know, we're only seeing this one card, so he may get more actions, he may get better actions, giving him like jump boosters, you know what I mean? There's ways to get him across the table, and then just using those two activations, just rapid two with a base three tech. I mean, and again, it's not hard to get your tech up. I mean, there's quite a few pieces of relatively cheap gear that can do it.
Or make
I think he's interesting. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I mean, and he is a viable edge runner, because you don't need actions, right? You don't need action tokens to be an edge runner. I mean, not an edge runner, sorry, net runner. You just need the cards. So he's already standing at a good spot with that three tech to be a net runner as well. I think like out of the three that we've gone over, like Promoter's great. He's adding something that only really one other model adds to the game, but somebody else adds that, right? Fashionista, as you said.
Yep.
Cool concept, but competing with a lot of things. Like, who's competing with Hard Hat?
No one currently.
Like, what in the game is like no one is doing what this guy's doing. So I think he's a really good add to the game, honestly. And just kind of, it's like a fun model, honestly. Like, just something completely, you know, everyone else is running around with these, like, decked out cyber guys and chromed out, and it's like, just, there's just Mr. Willie Hard Hat over here, the ticked off foreman that's just like passing out sawzalls to everybody.
I'm just picturing a Tanaka just right next to Hard Hat, and just a gonk spawns, he hands in the sawzall, the gonk runs off, gets killed, next refresh, another gonk pops in, gets handed a sawzall, and just, it's just a never-ending cycle.
Hey, you work for us. Cool. Grab those sawzalls over here. Come here.
We made some budget cuts. Here's a sawzall instead of a gun.
Arisaka ninjas? No way. I don't got any more of those anymore. Here, you just give me those sawzalls. We'll make do.
This is the construction department reporting for duty. So overall, I think this is probably my top pick of, I am going to probably try to make a skew silly list with this guy. This guy is 100% going to be seeing the table with me behind it. And I forgot I went over his outfit. He's got that nice hard hat, which fits his name. He has he's got that, like, that construction welder outfit with, like, the, I don't know how you'd say it. Like, what's the thing that catches sparks?
Like a welding apron?
Yeah. All right.
Kind of. So, well, I think it's also made to be like anti-cut, which is probably good because he's got, you know, the sawzall. He don't want that thing bouncing back and going into his own belly.
Yeah, he's got a welding apron over a nice business suit with a tie and a utility belt.
Yeah, you know.
With a screwdriver in his hand? Yeah, screwdriver.
It's business casual, you know.
Business in the construction site.
It's blue collar casual.
But I'm very up on this guy.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a fun one. For 17 points, I mean, should easily be able to find its way into some lists.
Lastly, our last civilian, discreet contractor. For 22 eddies, you get an edge runner, merc, net runner, with 2 shoot, 1 reflex, and 3 tech. You have 3 actions, 1 green, 2 yellow, with 2 abilities. Not my business. When any character is taken out, this model may move red for free. And we also have hardline corruption. Visible hacked rivals add dangerous to their reactions. All right. So what do you think about that right off the bat?
So I think at that point, if you compare it to Hard Hat, I'm cool with those points. 22 points, it's got the same activations as Hard Hat, but plus one green. It's got basically the same skills, but get rid of the melee and get the shooting. And then this one, again, has some good, cool little different abilities. And it's already got Netrunner built right in right there, so that's already a couple extra points. This is going to be a very interesting Netrunner merc to add to some groups. And actually, I think it's going to play well with Hard Hat because, you know, when those inevitably when those gonks go down, oh, no, it's character. So that wouldn't work. Well, when Hard Hat goes down, gutting himself, discreet contractor will move red for free, which, I mean, that's not that great. But I mean, that can be like sometimes just getting that extra red movement can be like anything. But honestly, it's the three Netrunner invisible hacked rivals add dangerous to the reactions. I think that's kind of cool. I would like to see more stuff that affects hacked rivals, right? And this kind of does that. So you know, with this thing, you're just going to be taking Netrunner programs that add that status all over the place. And honestly, the model itself, out of all of them, I think this one just looks the coolest in my eyes. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot going on, but like it's just pretty cool. I think I like it because it says discreet contractor. It is not very discreet.
No. I'll get to my opinions about the sculpts when I do my little splurb, because I have opposite opinions about the sculpt for one reason.
Okay. The backwards baseball cap. I know. I knew it.
I'll explain. All right. So right off the bat, hardline corruption. I love that ability. I want more interaction with hacked rivals. I want hacking, net running to be more played up. I know we're slowly getting there, closer and closer with new hackers, new programs. The more things come out, I'm licking my lips until I can make a cool all Netrunner list. I want to do that cool ping ability that I think turns all targets within yellow, I thought, gets a hack token.
Yep.
Dr. D doing that to me with Lucy forever ago. I think it was yellow. But now that adds the dangers to everything I would do in reaction, which adds so much more.
Yeah, especially if you're going against people that are playing a lot of those like react heavy stuff. I mean, this is great. It's like, okay, cool. You go ahead. You keep doing your reaction stuff.
Yeah, the heavy can totally react. I'll let him try to shoot me because the second he messes up, he's hurting himself.
Mm-hmm.
And then not my business, I think, is not a bad thing, especially with certain missions where if certain models get taken out, then the game's over. Where you run Not My Business, you get to move red and you can move right next to an objective and maybe swing the game in your favor at the very end when a model's taken out.
And the cool thing I want to point out on this is Not My Business specifically says when any character is taken out. Not any, not rival, not friendly, like any character is taken out. Which is really cool if, like, the enemy's on the objective and you're really close to it and your sniper takes that enemy and then you go, cool, now I'm on the objective without even having to wait till your next activation. I think, yeah, it's only red, but, like, in the right times, in the right place, that can be a really nice little ability.
Yeah, beggars can't be choosers. I'll take free red movement if something's taken out.
Listen, it is what it is, man.
It's a great model on its own. It's a Netrunner. It has shoot 2, reflex 1. I think that this model is definitely going to see play. I think I'll probably give it my second spot. I'm going to rank it Hard Hat, Discreet Contractor, Fight Promoter, and then Fashionista on what I'm probably going to play.
I think I agree with that, actually. As much as I like the Fight Promoter, I think overall, for new utility for the game, I think I'm with you. And I love all these, but I think same thing.
And then finally, I'm going to get on to the looks of the model. A brief message from the future. I accused a miniature of a crime it did not commit. The hat looks good. The sculpt also looks really good. The image I was looking at did not give it justice at all. Carry on. So the model has a nice business outfit, but with a utility vest on it and like a whole utility getup with a screwdriver. Yeah, electric screwdriver in its hand and armor platings on the shoulders. My biggest flaw for this model, and I love every other model, everything like that. There's just one minor flaw. I think the baseball cap's too high.
Oh, you know what? Like, now that you say it, I can't unsee it. Yeah.
It was the thing I saw, and I was like, oh, no. I can't not see it now.
Yeah.
The baseball cap is just too high. Everything else about it, I think, looks great.
Yeah. Yeah, you're kind of right. Well, yeah, but they didn't want to hide those amazing bushy eyebrows, you know?
Yeah, I understand. And again,
I don't have to create my own eyebrows with this model. They are there.
And I'm coming from a standpoint of I've never once designed a model that done anything with CAD files or anything like that. It's the one flaw of this model. I still think it looks great. I still bought it. Everything about it. Again, I'd give it the second highest ranking you can give of a ranking of four models here. It's just it's that hat that it gets me.
I will say, as I look at it, I do like the model, although now that you said that, it's freaking stuck in my head. So thanks, Mike. The only thing that throws me off about this is if you were to just show me this model and say, what game do you feel like it belongs in? I feel like I would say Infinity more than Cyberpunk.
You would?
Yeah, I don't know, maybe it's just the armor plates and the way, because there are some like odd ones that are kind of like this Infinity, right? So, but something about it just feels really Infinity, like you know, like an engineer or something. But that doesn't deter me from the fact that I do like it. I actually think it's gonna be a really fun model to paint. There is a lot going on, but that's gonna just kind of give some of the painters that like a little more challenge, a little bit more of a challenge. Yeah, I like it.
I have one additional question for this model. What brand are you painting the electric screwdriver for?
What brand am I painting the electric screwdriver for?
Yeah, the inner hand. Are you going to go Milwaukee? Are you going to go...
My brain went somewhere else. I actually thought you were trying to get me to make a plug for Monument Hobby Studios, and I'm looking at my massive amount of Monument Hobby Studios, and I was going to be like, there's only one brand that I'm going to use. And I realize what you're saying.
There's Ryobi, there's Cobalt.
Yeah, well, listen, it can't be Ryobi. I mean, you can't be in the combat zone using Ryobi. It's not reliable enough. And
no.
I say as a dude that owns a bunch of Ryobi stuff in the back.
You're going to get us canceled by Ryobi.
Yeah, yeah. Damn it, I was really looking forward to that sponsorship. I don't know, but now that you mention it, you know that everybody that paints this thing is gonna do it, right?
Yeah,
it's gonna be branded.
And I actually want every single one of you that paints this to send me pictures of what brand you went with, if you went with your own, or if you're like, no, I'm gonna take it off of an actual brand, take a little sticker from like a little toy or whatever and transfer it over. I want to see that. So now that we've talked about each model, we went over our rankings and what we think we're going to play with first. I want you to rank them 1 through 4 on the design of the model.
Like the miniature design?
Yeah, the miniature
design. Or the rules design. The miniature design.
And don't be biased from what I said. You can make your own decisions. You got this.
I think as far as like painting them goes, like what I think is going to be most enjoyable, I think promoter, I've been really enjoying painting like suits on people.
Okay.
And I think there's a lot of ways you can go with this. So I think I'm going to really enjoy that. And just the whole pose of it just fits the entire model. I think hard hat, because I don't know. I just like, just an old dude, like an old foreman, you got a screwdriver and he's just bringing sawzalls. Like, I don't know. I think that's going to be another one that's really fun. Discreet contractor, there is a lot going on, and then probably fashionista.
Mm. Now, can you do me a favor?
Yes.
When you paint your fight promoter, can you make it a zoot suit?
A zoot suit. You know what's funny is I almost said earlier, I was like, I can't wait to paint him up like a zebra.
Perfect.
Put him next to chauffeur with a cheetah outfit. I'm just gonna have all the animal prints in one list.
That's exactly what I want. I want you to go full like animal print everything.
Yes. Yeah. They're not the animals yet. They're still the wild things, but we're going to slowly push them there. Just discreetly.
Well, it's a little callback or call forward.
Yeah. It's
so my ranking is hard hat number one. I love his little get up. I love the old man outfit with the eyes and all that. I'm going to say fashionista number two. I think she has all that swagger you want. I really want to see the bling that people paint up on her. They're going to go like diamond type of style or gold or whatever sort of like gaudy outfit there. Fight promoter, That hair just reminds me of like Japanese like Yakuza, which I love that design too. Painting him up like that, and then last, just because of the hat, I feel bad just always pointing it out because again, the people that make the models do a great job. They do a wonderful job. I have no quarrel with them at all. It's just the hat gets me and like my simple mind. So that's my ranking from 1 to 4 on that. Hard hat takes number 1 overall for both.
Yeah, I will say if I was to pick one of these 4 that I'd be most excited to see, you know, the Dr. D paint up or someone like him that just has a really high, you know, skill level of painting. I think I actually would be most excited to see Fashionista just to see how they do up the hair and the shoulders. I feel like they could make her just like a really nice centerpiece on the table that just kind of pops and which I mean, yeah, right. Fashionista, right. That's what she should be doing. She should be getting your attention. I think I'd be most excited to see how he does her justice.
Now, one more topic before we wrap up the show, which faction are you looking to probably use these guys in first? So I'm going to say mine while you think about it. So hard hat. Originally I said, I want to use them with the kids. I think the skateboarder gonks are going to add so much because they're getting the move and they get to do their yellow action sawzall. Mm-hmm. So they're able to basically get more use out of it sooner than you'd see with other factions. I think I glanced earlier and I didn't see any gonks had a tech skill. So there's no faction where you're like, oh man, hard hat's going to do super good there because all the gonks have a tech 1 or something like that.
Right.
I think just the extra move with them for the skateboard punks.
Yeah, unless we see like some robots or something coming out in the future that have it, I think I'm pretty sure you're right. As of right now, I don't think anybody has any.
Yeah, because the only robots that are out are the Wild Things.
And they just got punchy.
Bots. They're just punch. Nothing but punch. Discreet Contractor, I would probably want to take that with maybe Santa Domingo. I think just kind of put her with a couple more hackers again. Really good tech stats, really good ability to get a lot of hacking programs out, which is going to put out dangerous on all the opponent's models and try to build more towards a Netrunner focus list. I think she's going to play a good part in that. Fashionista, I think, I'm not too sure. I think she would do well in most gangs. Again, the focus of her would be probably more towards her influence actions and able to help kind of chain react your models. So maybe Tiger Claws or Zoners able to activate him and then, or activate their leader, and then Street King or Oyuban will then activate Fashionista, who's going to do her one thing, maybe stun one a target and then be right near a ninja or some other model in the Zoners that they're able to activate and trigger forward. And Fight Promoter, I do think because he's a Wild Things, I would like to see how he plays with them. Try to figure out the synergies there before I would play with him with other factions.
Yeah, I think he's going to play well with pretty much anything, but I think he's going to really add something to Wild Things, absolutely.
Yeah, help fill a gap.
Hard hat, so I know you said the kids and you have reasons, but honestly, like, there's so many gonks that'd be good with him. Like Bozos. The dunce, their feeling lucky ability, when the model makes an attack before rolling, they can discard a luck token in order to give the attack deadly. Cool, it's dangerous, but it's also deadly rapid too on a gonk. And then for Tiger Claws, you know, when they die, they get to make a free reaction. What a great free reaction to make on the way out the door as a rapid two. And it's okay, we don't care about dangerous. We're dying anyways. So who cares, right? Give me those 2 free attacks on the way out the door. I think he could get play in really any gonks.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you're using Wild Things, you just have the bots. The bots are just punchy. Cool. Now you got a nice little rapid 2 attack. So I think he's gonna get play anywhere. I think he's great.
You got 2 more.
2 more. Oh my god. You want to go through all of them? Holy
yeah,
crap.
Only
Mike,
4 models.
You're asking me so much. Fashionista, I think, is the hardest one to really pick, where I think that's really going to come down to what do you have for points, what are you running in a list, and what do you need for support. I think for the right mission and the right list, she's going to be really good. But with Adepticon coming up, thinking in a more tournament based mind, I don't know if I'd want her in like my only list I'm playing with. I would say if you are playing a very slow list that isn't really quick and doesn't move around the table, like Gen Red, right? You're really fast. You don't really need someone pushing them around. You can kind of do that on your own. But if you're running like a really slow list, then that obvious distraction would probably be awesome to have to kind of maneuver things around. But other than that, I don't know. I think that I'm going to have to play around with her in some lists and just see where I feel like she fits. And then the Street Contractor, I mean, everybody kind of has access to some good net runners, so everyone already has access to someone that's good. But just the additional stuff that it brings, you know, the hardline corruption alone, I think is really good. And the fact that, you know, you've already got two ranged on you as well and three hacking, like, and three tokens, like you could easily turn this into like a back range assault gunner that's just doing all of the support wear in the background, that's just, you know, lining up, you know, everything that they see and then just shooting everything down. There really is a lot of potential, I feel like, for the Discreet Contractor as well. But again, once you hit that 20 point mark, you are competing with a lot of stuff, so it really depends on what you're running.
I think we did it. We did the thing. We talked about these four new mercenaries, these four new civilian mercenaries. And I do like that they are civilian focused, where they are just people of Night City that you would see walking around, not necessarily have to be fighting or stuff like that. Like, these guys all have day jobs.
Which I think is just smart for marketing as well, because there's a lot of people that buy these models not for Combat Zone. They don't play. They just use them for the RPG. And these are just great models for the RPG as well, just to add in for, you know, different things.
Yeah, I know. That was part of the reason I instantly bought all four of them.
I knew it.
But I'm excited to get these guys on the table. I'm excited to figure out my list for Adepticon. I'm excited to hear about the event in Calgary, Canada by Fixer Matt. Fixer Matt.
Stellar.
I'm excited to hear from all you guys on how we did. So, hear me out. We would really love some 5-star reviews on any of the ways you listen to our podcast. I don't mind if you guys give us bad reviews. I don't mind if you guys give us good reviews. I want to hear from you. I want to hear what we can do to improve. Is it we want more Josh? We want Dylan more? We want random other people like Ted from Montana? We want him on here because we think he has good views and he talks about on the Discord all the time. I want to hear from you. So please do that. You guys can out to me on Discord at Inventor of Soup, or email me at inventorofsoup@gmail.com. Fixer Josh, where can they reach out to you?
Hey, if you're on Monster Fight Club's Discord, I am under there as Fixer Joshio. Cheddar Boy or Cheddar Boy Gaming pretty much everywhere else. If you're in the like Northeast and New England gaming meta, look us up on Facebook on the Cyberpunk Combat Zone New England. I will get you into that group. We'd definitely love to get that a little more active. We also have a local Discord as well, so hit me up and I will get you in that. Get you in that as well. And if you're going to Adepticon, please come see my smiling face. I will be there with Mac. We'll be throwing down some dice, teaching people some games. I'll be helping out at the tournaments, maybe doing one. I don't know yet. Still up in the air, but I will be there regardless, and I look forward to seeing all of you guys there.
And thank you to the people in the background that help keep this podcast running. Kara for help editing, Tim for running the network, Dylan for all the work he does in editing, producing, and all that other jazz. And thank you guys. So thank you for listening, Chooms. And remember, Night City doesn't hand out second chances. You gotta take them or get swept into the gutters with the rest.
Yeah.